Phil, welcome in. How are you, man?
Hey, real good, Tom. How about yourself?
I am fantastic, and no pressure, right, for you. But I mean, it is the magazine that many of us in the business rely on, whether they're playing the games, whether they're handicapping the games, or whether they just need the information and background information. That's the one you see. I mean, if you did a poll up and down Radio Row at SEC Media Days, there's 30 radio stations there. 25 of them have Phil Steele's annual right there on their desk.
Yeah, and I think a couple of reasons for that, Tom. Number one, we give more information than anybody else, probably 3 to 4 times the amount of information. And all 128 teams are laid out in the exact same fashion. So it's the quickest, easiest reference guide you could use. If you want to know who the starting left tackle is for any team, even Georgia State, you know the exact part of the page to look. If you want to know a score from 3 years ago, you know the exact part of the page to look. You want to know who the leading rusher was last year, it takes you a half a second. You know exactly where to look on the page. So it's a great compliment that everybody uses it.
Yeah, no, it is tremendous stuff. And I'm still, I know the digital edition. I know it's easier to search and all that kind of stuff, but I'm still a paper, I want the magazine. I mean, I know that makes me sound like a dinosaur. I hope you guys never stop printing it. I know the newspapers have gone by the by, but I find it a very, very easy to get through things quickly with it. And, I like the book, man. So keep doing the book.
You know, Tom, they say that the internet is going to make all this stuff obsolete. But in reality, if you just give yourself the internet and you have my magazine in front of you and you say, okay, I want to know who Missouri's top rusher was last year, my magazine, it would take you 2 seconds to find it. On the internet, you'd have to go to to look up anything for any team. You go to the team site. All the team sites are set up differently. By the time you click, 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 and get to what you want, you could have had 5 more things done in my magazine. So it's still the quickest, easiest reference source. And I know everybody talks about you got to have it on your phone and stuff like that, but I think the magazine itself is internet proof.
And I'll tell you what, it's beyond generational because my youngest son is now 16. He's a high school football player, and he's a rising junior, and he's a good little player. But every year when I get he hopes that I get multiple ones. And I do, and often I do, because not only do you guys sometimes send them to us, but then I get them, from some other people or whatnot. I've even bought them. You know what I mean? I've even rolled out real cash to get one. But he always, you got an extra one, and he keeps it with him in his room. And ever since he's, 13 years old. Now, I will say this. I realized at one point in time that they were using it. My boys were using it to help them with their video games. They're, getting information on players and stuff.
There you go.
And they use it in their...
I think an entire generation of folks have been brought up on the Phil Steele magazine now that it's been out 22 years.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to some of the meat and potatoes. First of all, you made news by putting two SEC teams in the Final Four. And that's bold. I'm saying that Alabama and LSU both make it. The assumption there would be the loser of that game will be 11-1 and will be in the mix, and the winner of that game will go on and win the SEC championship, putting them in the mix. Most people think highly, highly unlikely, but just talk about that and talk about the schedule those two teams have and how difficult it will be to get that done.
Yeah, Bama does have a very tough schedule. In fact, the top 4 teams in the SEC this year are Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, and Ole Miss, and Alabama has to play each of the other 3 on the road. They also play USC on the road this year. So it's a difficult schedule when I rate the 3rd toughest in the country, but they are number 1 in my power poll in the magazine, the most talented team. And I look at the fact that they got Jonathan Allen back at defensive end, Reuben Foster, middle linebacker, Eddie Jackson at strong safety. All 3 of these guys could have left early for the NFL, been first or second round draft picks. They all opted to return. I think Bama's got the best defense in football. We know that a first-year starting quarterback is no problem. They've won 3 of their last 4 national titles with one. They're solid at running back, dynamic at receiver with Calvin Ridley, one of the best tight ends in the country, and O.J. Howard. And the offensive line's one of the best. So really, they might be the most talented team in the country. And LSU, they're a team that's got 9 starters back. They bring in Dave Aranda, an excellent defense coordinator. He's got more talent to work with here at LSU than he ever had at Wisconsin. They've got Leonard Fournette, a couple NFL caliber receivers, and Trayvon Durrell and Malachi Dupree, and a veteran offensive line. And I think Brandon Harris in his third year as a starter is going to show some drastic strides. I mean, he's got the arm. He's got the mobility. He's got all everything you want. He's been reading defenses for 3 years. Now, the reason I picked two from the SEC, it's a playoff committee to put the best four teams in there. Mm-hmm. And if you have a whole bunch of teams with one loss, they're going to give it to the conference champ. But like last year, Stanford had two losses at the end of the year, didn't get an invite to the playoffs. They still finished number three in the AP poll, but didn't get an invite, even though they were the conference champ from the Pac-12. I think the Pac-12 beats itself up. The conference champ, again, has two losses, maybe even three this year. Same thing with the Big Ten. When I look at the Big Ten, I see Ohio State as a very young team. In fact, they're number 128 out of 128 in terms of experience. They probably lose early against Oklahoma. They may even drop another game early this season. But by the time they get to the end of the year, they've had the best recruiting class in the Big Ten the last 5 years. They'll have 10 games under their belt. They'll have been at Oklahoma, at Wisconsin, at Penn State. And that's when they play the big boys out of the East, Michigan State, Michigan. So I think Ohio State, with a loss or two, wins the Big Ten East, wins the Big Ten overall. And if you have those two conferences, each have a couple of losses there, it is the playoff committee supposed to put the best teams in there. And I think if you got Alabama with my number one defense, LSU with my number two defense, and both with outstanding offenses, it'd be tough to keep them out.
Yeah, and of course, you also have Florida State and LSU, I believe, or Florida State and Oklahoma, I believe. So, I mean, this would be a blue blood type of Final Four. I mean, that would be incredible excitement for that thing. And as long as they weren't, you know, the silly committee playing this thing on, you know, New Year's Eve, middle of the week, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, they're so screwed up, it's ridiculous. But this year I think it falls on a Saturday. It makes sense. It, you know, the numbers could be off the chart if, in fact, it ends up being, you know, those four glamour teams.
Yeah, and, you know, the one team I've got right outside the box, number five, Clemson, they're worthy of being in there. Yeah. The only reason I didn't pick them is they play at Florida State. But they've got the potential Heisman Trophy winner in Deshaun Watson, who's my pick to win it, probably the most explosive offense in the country. So there's a lot of very talented teams. And that's what I love about the four-team playoff, Tom, is the fact you get the best teams in there. I don't want to see some Cinderella story, some team with three losses win the national title. I want the best teams to win the title.
Phil Steele with us here talking, of course, college football as we're getting ready to lead into the season. All right, you mentioned the Big Ten. I just want to stay there for a second. You seem to not be drinking the Harbaugh Kool-Aid as much as others. You got him at number 12, which is lofty. It would be a big second season for Jim Harbaugh. I don't know why that's not good enough for Michigan fan and a lot of the national pundits who really don't look at the way this team's schedule sets up. And don't really care that they're going to Michigan State and they're going to Ohio State and so on. You don't want to automatically put Michigan in the Final Four this year. You're not quite there yet.
You know, I think Michigan is a team that is going to be at the end of October, about October 27th. They're going to be 7-0 with seven dominating wins. They're probably going to be the preseason pick to win the Big Ten this year. They have my number five rated defense. They have a solid running game with Devion Smith, solid receiver in J.U. Chesson and Jake Butt. The offensive line's good, and they've got two capable quarterbacks. So they are a very talented team. But after they start out 7-0, you look at their last five games. They have to go at Michigan State, a team that's had their number ever since Mike Hart's little brother comment. They have to play at Iowa. Iowa's not a pushover. I was very tough at home, and they are a loaded team. They're my pick to win the West. They have to play at Ohio State. Now, if they played Ohio State in week three of the season, I probably would be like the rest of the media and pick Michigan to win the East. But they play them week 12, and by the time Ohio State's inexperienced team gets to week 12, they're no longer inexperienced. If you ended the season after 11 games, they'd be counted as returning starters next year. That's going to be a veteran squad. And Ohio State did beat Michigan last year, 42-13 in the Big House. Now they get that game in Columbus. So that's why I went with the Buckeyes to win it.
Now explain, you have Florida State, the Noles at number one, Alabama at number two, and then your power poll, you say you put Alabama number one, and this sometimes confuses people. Obviously, schedules are different. Florida State's schedule is nowhere near what Alabama's schedule is. I don't know that Florida State could navigate that schedule better than 9-3, 10-2. I'm not sure Alabama could navigate that schedule better than 9-3, 10-2. But having said that, explain the difference between the power poll and your top 25.
Yeah, the power poll is the one that just takes the raw talent of the teams and puts them in there. And it combines my nine sets of power ratings, puts them all together, and Alabama comes up number one. And then what I do for the magazine is you always have to factor in the schedule. And when I look at the schedule for Florida State, while it's not easy, Florida State does play my number 14 rated schedule. Their road games are not against LSU, Tennessee, and Ole Miss. They're against Miami of Florida, Louisville, and NC State. So much more winnable games on the road. They get that big game against Clemson at home. So really, what I do is I factor in the my computers. I play the nine sets of power rings into the schedule, and that's how I pick my top 40. So many times a team that might be very talented, if they're a team like USC, for example, USC plays the toughest schedule in the country. So even though my power ratings rate USC up there in the top 15 of the country, they barely made my top 25 at number 25 because not only they play their Pac-12 South games, but they draw the three toughest games out of the North in Oregon, Washington, and Stanford. And then how about the non-conference schedule? Alabama and Notre Dame. That is the toughest schedule in the country.
No question about it. All right, Florida State, you mentioned them. Ole Miss game, you know, you talk about their road games. They get Ole Miss in Orlando. This will be a litmus test for Ole Miss as well, who loses a lot with Laquon Treadwell and, of course, the defense that they lose with Robert Condici, and, of course, they lose Laramie Tunzel. So they lose all of those pieces, but they bring back Chad Kelly, who I think is the best quarterback in the SEC, not Josh Dobbs, who many want to go with Josh Dobbs, but I think Chad Kelly is the man. But talk about that first game and what that could mean for Ole Miss, how that can change perceptions of Ole Miss right off the top.
Yeah, I think if Ole Miss was to win the opener, they would probably jump up into the top five because, as you mentioned, you got Chad Kelly at quarterback, who's got probably the strongest arm of any quarterback in college football. And I like the fact he's a complete QB. Last year he came in, threw for over 4,000 yards, 31 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, but he's also mobile. He doesn't get credit for the mobility, but how about 500 net yards rushing last year and 4.7? Love the way he reads defenses. Really, the only knock on Chad Kelly coming into last year was the off-field stuff, but it looks like that off-field stuff is taken care of tenfold, and that really makes him one of the top quarterbacks for the draft and one of the top quarterbacks in college football. And if they were to knock off Florida State, you know, that Alabama game then on September 17th, keep in mind they've beaten Bama each of the last 2 years.
Right.
That'd be a very confident Ole Miss team for that game, and they've got three potential first-round draft picks on defense. Marquise Haynes at defensive end, Tony Connor at linebacker, and cornerback Kendarius Webster.
Full Steel with us now with ESPN as well, and, of course, Full Steel's annual hitting the newsstands as we speak, so you can make sure that you get yours so that you have it with you. Put it right there by your TV stand all season long. Phil has been joining us for now, I don't know, 10 years probably at least each year to break down the season. All right, there's a couple of glory teams. A couple of glory teams that are not in this top 25, and it's Auburn and Florida. Now, Florida, you know, a 10-win team last year. They sputtered at the end, but, you know, Jim McElwain had it going pretty good. Luke Del Rio's looked great in the offseason and so on. But they don't make the top 25. And Auburn, coming off of two disappointing seasons, and just talk about those two teams and the possibilities for them to bounce back and get back into the spotlight.
Yeah, well, with Florida, I mean, their defense has been outstanding. You look at the last 7 years, Florida's defense has allowed 18.4 points per game. And once again this year, they have my number 10 rated defense. The question marks with Florida reside on the offensive side of the ball. When they had a healthy quarterback in Will Greer, their offense was much more explosive last year, averaging 32.2 points per game, with Treon Harris just 16.5. Now, I like what I saw to Luke Del Rio in the spring. Had a great spring game, as a matter of fact, hitting 10 of 11 passes for 176 yards. Had a great year with the scout team last year. They've got three solid running backs, Mark Thompson, Cronkite, and Scarlett. The receiving core looks pretty good. I don't think they'll be one of the top offenses in the country with that defense. You don't have to be. They do have four games. I've got them an underdog in this year. They have to play Tennessee on the road, LSU at home, at Arkansas, at Florida State. And that's the reason I didn't put them in the top 25. They've got those four tough games. But I think I would put Florida as a potential contender in the SEC based on the fact they've beaten Tennessee 11 straight years. And if they can maintain that magic and somehow pull off that win early, keep in mind they only have three true SEC road games this year, at Tennessee, at Vanderbilt, at Arkansas. They would all of a sudden be a contender. But those four games are the reason I kept them out of there. And with Auburn, I think they're going to be one of the most improved teams in the country offensively because they finally have the mobile quarterback back. Remember last year coming into the spring, the SEC media was anointing Auburn the SEC champion.
Right.
Because now they had the pass attack. Now they would be unstoppable on offense. But they took away the mobility at the quarterback spot. And look what happened. They averaged 37.5 points per game in their first 2 years of Gus Malzahn, and then just 27.5 points per game last year, a drop of 10 points. But now John Franklin comes in, gives them that mobility. They've got plenty of talent at the skill positions, good offensive line. And defensively, Carl Lawson was dominant last year, but missed most of the year with injury. He's back with Montrevious Adams and Russell up front. They're going to have a much improved defense as well. When I look at their schedule, they're probably going to be an underdog against Clemson, which they are already an underdog. LSU at home, at Ole Miss, at Georgia, at Alabama. I think they probably end up topping last year's 7-win total, but the schedule's what keeps them out of my top 25. They play the fifth toughest schedule in the country.
Not playing the fifth toughest schedule is Tennessee, and this is a team that has been a very, very trendy pick. I'll be honest with you, I'll vote them in the East. I mean, I will. A lot of it has to do with schedule, but they have basically a four-game schedule. I mean, it looks like, I mean, that game against Florida, you mentioned Florida. Look, Florida's been beating them for a dozen years, so that's not a rollover that automatically they're going to win that game, even though they'll probably be favored. But then they go to Georgia. Then they go to Texas A&M, which is, could be a tricky game. Who knows what A&M is going to do. And then, by the way, come back, the maraschino cherry on that Sunday of games is Alabama at home. And ESPN's got that thing going on where the percentage to win, they're like 58% to beat Alabama. Vegas has Bama as a 3.5-point favorite. I mean, come on. So I mean, that's a gauntlet. If they get through that 2-2, they're 10-2. But I don't know that they can get through that 2-2.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough four games, that's for sure. And like you said, when you look at the rest of their schedule, those are really the only four games you're concerned with in the stretch. I think they go at least 2-2 in that down there. But for three years now, Butch Jones in his first 3 years kept saying, "We're young, we're young, we're young." He cannot play that card anymore. This is the most experienced Power 5 team in the country. 17 returning starters. On my most experienced chart, they come in number three. The only two teams ahead of them are both non-power, for a group of five teams, I should say. They've got Joshua Dobbs at QB, Herdon Kamara at running back, and on the defensive side of the ball, potential first-round draft picks with defensive end Derek Barnett, linebacker Jalen Reese-Maven, and cornerback Cam Sutton. So this is Tennessee's year. And keep in mind, last year, they were four plays away from being 13-0. I mean, they led Oklahoma and Florida by double digits in the fourth quarter, had a couple of agonizing losses, lost to Arkansas by four. And Alabama at home needed a touchdown with 2 minutes left to get past Tennessee. So this is a very dangerous Tennessee squad, and they are my pick to win the East this year.
All right, Phil Steele. And by the way, only one non-power conference team, Boise State, making his top 25. And well, I guess Houston is in there as well. But Boise State, some people will consider them, as part of that. But, Phil, it seems like we're heading towards a time that there's going to be some sort of a split. I mean, it just seems like there's so much of the have and the have-nots now. And I just can see a scenario a few years down the road when there's 60 or 70 teams in one grouping and then the other 60 or 70 teams in another.
I'm going to agree. I think we're headed to four 16-team super conferences.
Yeah.
And the 64 teams that make it are in, and the ones that don't, it's going to be a completely different level of play.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, Phil, it's always great to talk to you, man. I appreciate you so much. Hopefully we can snag you once during the season as well. I know you're a very, very busy guy now with the ESPN work as well, but you always make time for me, and I appreciate that.
Always enjoy our conversations, Tom. Let's do it again this summer. Let's do one in July.
Let's do it, man. All right, I'm
done
with that.
Looking forward to it, Tom, and great talking football with you today.